come all the time that are here every year to visit with us. We say they're our distant members. Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. I want to call your attention to a few passages here. Just a little something that had been dropped in my spirit to discuss with the church. Amen. You know, the church, you all are the called out ones, the ones whom God has called.
Yes, we are.
So we're going to ask you if you have a copy of our lesson today. You may have it. If you don't, turn to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter number 61. And locate just the first verse there, and then we're going to look in the New Testament for a passage from Dr. Luke. And we know him to be the only Gentile writer in the Bible who writes the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Great contributions to the Word of God. And we're going to look in chapter 4 from the Gospel of Luke in verse 16 to 22. And so if you will read these with me, you can let us stand, stretch your legs. I know some of y'all might have just been up praising. If you were, that's good. This gives you a good way to get your legs in order here for being able to walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen. So we're going to go right ahead starting here on Isaiah 61 and 1. Read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's Isaiah 61, the first three verses. Now for the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, read, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to use for a topic today in the acceptable year of the Lord. In the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless and praise you. Father, we thank you for today, another day's journey. Thank you for bringing some people a year around, another year right now, Lord God.
Thank you.
And Father, we just thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word. And we ask that you clear out our minds right now, Lord, and open up our ears that we might get a word from on high. And we thank you for this time, Lord, in history, that you have allowed us to be here to occupy this time, Lord God. And we give you praise because you have said in your word that we are still in that period that you call the acceptable year of the Lord. Help us understand that today, Lord God. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. In the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Now, one thing I want you to know that the scriptures teach about God is that it says that God is outside of time. He is the eternal God.
Yes.
Peter put it this way. He said, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So in other words, what might seem like 1,000 years to me and you, to God is just a drop in the bucket, so to speak. Just a little bit of time, a little speck of time. I always like to think of it this way. The knowledge of God and the presence of God is like all that you see in the ocean. And what we know is about like if you took a thimble and went to the ocean and dipped out a thimble worth. That's about what we understand. But God is like the vastness of the ocean. It's immeasurable. We really don't know everything about the sea. Have you ever taken a minute and got on Google Earth? I know y'all might not do this, but I do. And you get on there and you can spin the whole world around and see all that water all the way around the whole thing. I'm in awe every time I look at it. I'm amazed how many times I look at it and see something new I never even seen. I've been looking at this all my life, and I never noticed the Arctic Sea, for example. Don't pay much attention to it. We talk about the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Yep.
We may talk about the Mediterranean, but spin it down toward the top, you'll see the Arctic Sea. And then there's all kinds of different bodies of water that have names that you may not have paid much attention to. And to me, it just puts me in awe of God. They have some spaces on there where the water is so deep, they don't know how deep it is. They call it unfathomable waters. And sometimes the ships cross through those areas when they're going through the sea. But that's kind of how it is when you're dealing with God.
Yes.
He is so vast that you can't explore all the depths of God. He is so far above and beyond our minds and our way of thinking. And you just look at what he made, and that should put you in awe of his majesty. You know, I can't even get it together in my head to think that something like this could be an accident. You know, especially when you read the account of it and you look at the word and find out that God, this eternal being who is the creator of heaven and earth and all that in them is,
yes,
is there, and he loves you. That's the part that excites me. A lot of people don't. It was hard for me to get a grip on the idea that God loves me. Somebody told me that when I was in the midst of my troubles back long ago. And I said, he loves me, you know, and I'm saying, not me. It's hard for me to get that in my mind and wrap my mind around that thought just as much as it is for you to see all that vast ocean and try to figure out, comprehend how it got to be like that. Amen. So what I want to say, and I just said that to set an idea in your mind, because God is awesome. He really
is. Yes, he is.
The word awesome shouldn't be used for anything else but to describe God. We kind of wear it out today talking about all kinds of stuff. Oh, this ice cream is awesome. I don't think so. Yeah, God is awesome. He's an awesome God. And it's just a wonderful thing when you think about the fact that this awesome being who created everything loves you. He loves you. God is love. We've looked at this in some previous lessons. He is love.
Yes, he is.
And he loves you, and he loves me. So think about this now. How do we know he loves us? This is the part you have to really get your grip on. The reason you know, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know that's Jesus who says that in John 3:16. He's talking to Nicodemus in a conversation. And Nicodemus came with questions in his mind by night. Remember that? And he said, Lord, we know you are a teacher come from God. Because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. They knew by what Jesus was doing that he must be God. But we can't understand because they're up there saying you're not God. And you know, I'm confused. Nicodemus was confused. And he came to him by night and said, this is what we know, speaking for the whole group up at the temple. We know that thou art a teacher come from God.
Oh yes.
Because no man can do the signs that thou dost. Man can't do that stuff you're doing. No way. See, and Jesus looked him in the eye and said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born from above. He told him, you have to have a new experience with God. You have to be born. God has to give you insight for you to see that he loves you, that it's him who is doing the works that you see me do. Jesus was not trying to take the credit for himself. But what I want you to see here is that this message we tune in on today was the fulfillment of some prophecy that Isaiah, the prophet, had written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. He prophesied so clearly everything that Jesus taught and did that a lot of the people who I studied with in my years of study, which I'm still in my years of study, but let's say in my original years of study, we used to call this book the Gospel of Isaiah. Because Isaiah tells you very clearly what we call the Gospel, the good news that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now here we're going to see it here, and I want you to see this. This is the text that when Jesus began his public ministry, this is the text that he opened up and saw. They began to read to the in the Nazareth synagogue there in his own hometown where he was raised, where he had been brought up, as the scripture said. But look what he says here, and then you're going to get something good, I think, if you pay attention to what the Lord says here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Isaiah writes, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings.
My Lord.
That's gospel, good news.
Yes.
Unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You know, when I read this in the jails, people say, what? The opening of the prison? Yes. You know, you can be in a prison without being behind concrete and steel. You know that. There's a lot of things that imprison people's soul. But the Lord is able to break through. And not to mention that, he can take care of the concrete and steel as well. If you trust him. But he says here that he's going to open the prison to them that are bound. And he said these are the things that the anointed one will do. He is going to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day, notice it goes from a year to a day, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now he goes to a specific group, which will be the Israelites, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Amen.
Now, so much in that, you could actually take months to talk about everything that has been said.
Right.
So let's just cut to the chase. We'll talk about some of the meaning and how to apply it on the back end. In the New Testament, Jesus picks up that very text. Notice what it says. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is the city where he has been brought up. Now, what I want you to know is just before he came to Nazareth, it said he had been led away of the Spirit to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and nights.
Yes.
Just before that, he had been baptized by John the Baptizer.
Yes.
And the Spirit of God descended from heaven in the bodily shape, in the like the form of a body, with the grace of a dove, and lighted up on him.
Yes.
And John could see the heavens open, and he heard a voice speak, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And after Jesus had been baptized, he was led away by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and nights. And when he had come back from that and had succeeded in the temptations that the devil tried to put upon him, he came to Nazareth, it says here. So I'm just trying to get you some background on where we are in the life and the ministry of Christ. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, this is what he did all the time, because he had been raised there. Every Sabbath day he would go to the temple, and he was being trained to be a rabbi or a teacher as a young man. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Now this is the same Jesus that we've been seeing being raised here by Mary and Joseph for all these years till he's age 30. Now he's coming into the synagogue and he stood up to read. Now notice what happens here. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Somebody said, this is the reading for the day. And of course, this means a scroll. They took out a scroll of Isaiah. The word book, biblos, is a scroll. And it basically, they used to have everything on a roll of parchment. And they would roll it up and bring it to him. They handed him the scroll of Isaiah. And notice what happens here, it says. And he opened the book and found the place where it is written. He goes through the scroll up to verse chapter 61, which is what we just read. 61 verse 1. It's parallel here with Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Notice this, because he anointed me to preach the gospel. to the poor. Now, this is the NASB translation we're reading here, New American Standard. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable or the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the purpose of Messiah. The rabbis throughout the years had said Messiah is who this verse is talking about. They all knew that. It was common knowledge among the Jews that this section in Isaiah refers to Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus comes in the place where he has been very familiar by everybody who knew him. They knew him from a little boy on up. This is where Joseph and Mary settled after he had been born, was in the Nazareth. And he came and read that, and notice what he says here. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. This was an interesting topic to the Jews.
Yes.
About the Messiah, the coming of the anointed one. That's what Messiah means. Yes. The Moshiach is the Hebrew.
Right.
The Moshiach Nagi, Messiah the Prince.
Yes.
He would be the Son of God that had been proclaimed by Daniel and all the other prophets. He was called the Moshiach Nagi. That's the Hebrew. Y'all don't go tell everybody Pastor Fisher was speaking in tongues. But it's actually Messiah the Prince. And he, after he read this passage, this is a very interesting passage to the Jews. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and this is what blew everybody's mind, this next thing. It says, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Like, wow, boy, that really, that just set them aback. They went back off of this one like, what? That blew their mind, and all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Hey, this is the kid that we know, his mother and Mary and Joe down there on the other end of such and such a block. Isn't that him? What is he talking about? And so he went on to explain that he was, in fact, the Messiah.
Yes.
Now, you know what? There's a phrase, and I'm kind of cutting to the end here. If you look at item three, you ever heard the phrase that familiarity breeds contempt?
Yeah.
When people know you, they sometimes don't believe you because they know you so well.
So true.
You know what? That's an interesting thing to me. People who know you well sometimes don't believe you. So they go, wait a minute now, how can you be any source of anyone that we should believe? I know you. I've been knowing you all your life. Sometimes the hardest people for you and me to minister to are the people in our lives who are the closest to us. Have you noticed that?
That's true.
Folks you love don't want to hear from you. Folks you know that are very close to you will shut a deaf ear on what you have to say.
Will.
You know what? You shouldn't feel bad. They did it to Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
God the Son was in the flesh. He had come to fulfill prophecy that had been written hundreds of years, even on back to the days of Moses, when he prophesied Messiah would come. And he came, stood up, told them that this is me. I'm here. They said, what? Oh man, boy, that just flipped them on their heads. They couldn't believe it.
Right.
Same thing is true with me and you.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to the people who you think should believe you because they should trust you. They know you. They've been knowing you all your life.
Yep.
But sometimes they won't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't feel bad when it happens to you. It happens to me quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've learned to do? Start to pray that God will send somebody else in their life, a total stranger that they don't even know, will come into their life and tell them the important things that you have already said.
Amen.
That's the best thing you can do. You know what? As a church family, we ought to know that among ourselves and minister to somebody else's folks. Because they don't want to hear the folks who they really know the most. And it's not unusual. This is the way people are. They always have been this way. If it was like that for God, how do you think it's going to be for you when you try to talk to the folks close to you who you think you ought to believe me because you know me and you should be able to trust me, but they don't. So just think about that when you look at this text. Here's Jesus. They said, we've been knowing you for 30 years. Now you're telling us you're the Messiah? Are you kidding me? They started to be enraged before it was all done. He started to break down the scripture and explain to them what it meant and the fact that he was in fact the Christ, the Messiah.
Yes.
And what he said he came to do, notice this now, this is the one that's really, I want you to really give some thought to. He stopped halfway. The Bible was not divided like it is now in the verses that we have. In those days, it was just a continuous scroll with everything on it. There were no chapters, no verses, none of that. And people have talked about, why did he stop with that half of what was said? Notice Isaiah, going back to the Old Testament, he came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where Jesus stopped. And the other part says, and the day of vengeance of our God. Wow, he didn't read that part. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant. And he, to comfort all that mourn, and the rest of these things, he did not read. He just read up to the acceptable year of the Lord, and he stopped.
That's it.
Rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant. And I want to say to you that there is a reason why he stopped right there. And that time period still is going on right now. From the time Messiah came up until this very second is a period that we want to call the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? Because God came to settle the sin account of all men at one time. And it seems like it's been a long time to us. It would be about, according to your calendar, 2018 years since Jesus was born. Now subtract 30, and that would put you in the time period where he was in the synagogue at Nazareth preaching at about the age of 30. See that? And the calendar and all of time is centered around Christ.
Yes.
So we would say roughly 2,000 years have elapsed, and this whole period can be considered the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Because God came at one time to settle the sin accounts of people all over the planet, all the way back retroactive to Adam, and from that time all the way up until now. Yes. And we don't know when the acceptable year of the Lord will end. And right now we're in the midst of it. And we're here today, all of us who have accepted Christ to be their Savior and Lord, because it is the acceptable year of the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus came to settle the sin accounts of all people everywhere on the planet. He did it at one time out on Calvary. It took him a few hours from the early in the morning till about midday to satisfy God for whosoever believes in him, as he hung, bled, and died on the cross, shedding his blood for the sins of many, all who believe in him. So a principle featured many times in prophetic scripture and apocalyptic scripture, or holy scripture as we call it, is seen here in this text, which Jesus the Christ selected to teach during this occasion when he began his earthly ministry in his own hometown of Nazareth, which is known as the principle of the near and far fulfillment. Now, in other words, the first part of this was the near fulfillment. Jesus was there.
Yes.
Messiah had come. He had been anointed by God. That's what a Messiah means, the anointed one.
The anointed.
He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied all the way from Genesis when man fell into sin, and he came right on schedule when he was supposed to come. He came and he began to preach that now God is settling the debt of sin for all people, all the way from Adam on up till the very last one, and right now is the acceptable year of the Lord, and we live in it. And the people were offended in his own hometown.
Yes, they were.
So not many people received it. In fact, if you read the rest, I'm going to leave that for you for homework. They got mad and ran him out and was trying to run him over the cliff.
Yep.
They were so angry because of what he said. And they couldn't believe it. See, but this is what will happen. But it says he escaped them right through their midst. Because he was God, and he was the one who came to preach glad tidings to the poor, opening of the prison, and giving sight to the blind. He proved that he was God in the flesh. And so basically that was the near fulfillment, was that he came. And right now, ever since that time, all the way up till today, we are in the acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean? That means that whoever believes in him, like he told Nicodemus in the synagogue, whoever hears the good news, he came to proclaim the gospel. That's good news, that you can be right with God. How can I be right with God, preacher?
Amen.
By believing on him whom God has sent.
Amen.
If you believe in Jesus Christ, he settles your debt.
That's right.
He pays the bill entirely.
Amen.
He received the punishment and the wrath of God that I deserve and that you deserve if you trust in him, in order to pay your bill in full.
Yes.
And God is accepting you right now by grace.
Yes.
And by faith in his own son. Can he do that? Yes. Why? Because he wrote it down and said he was going to do it years before Jesus came. And when he came, Jesus proclaimed it right here, started in the synagogue in Nazareth. And he began to preach the gospel, and it's still going on right now. Now, we don't know when this second part of Isaiah's prophecy will come to pass. But I don't think it'll be long, and it's not going to last for a year in God's time. You notice it went from a year to the day of vengeance. When God's wrath is pouring out, it's only going to be taking a little bit of time, in other words, compared to the amount of time that God has an open door blanket policy for whoever believes in him can come by grace to be saved.
Yes.
And so we call this time that we live in right now, we live in the acceptable year of the Lord. This is a time when whosoever will may come. It began to be first preached to the Jews, because the Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. See that? So this is an open door time in history, and this is why you and I live in the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why there can be people of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue who are a part of the church, which is the body of Christ. And so Jesus began to preach it. It was not received well in Nazareth, but he went on and continued to preach for 3.5 years after this. And he was training 12 disciples throughout that period. So this is one reason that Jesus stopped short of continuing with more of the passage which was originally given through Isaiah and pertains to the season of open salvation for all people known as the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the time of God's extension of grace to whosoever will receive it. Whoever will come and receive the message of grace will be saved. And it was preached by Jesus and the apostles, beginning with the Jews, then to all the world, and continues to be done also by the church. We continue to preach right now the acceptable year of the Lord. That's our pleasure and our duty. To tell men, women, boys, and girls that whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall not be put to shame.
Yes.
God has heaped all the sin of all man upon his own son. He forsook him on the cross. He hung, bled, and died to pay the bill for everyone who believes. Whoever believes in him will not perish. God will accept you just like you are. Most of the time we disqualify ourselves. We say, oh, you know, I'm not worthy. That's true. I'm not worthy. Nobody is worthy to be saved.
Amen.
Jesus came to save you anyway.
Oh, yes.
That's why this is called the acceptable year of the Lord. He will forgive you of everything you've ever done. And it's not by any works. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy, which he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That's Titus 3:5-6.
Yes.
And so basically, it's not by anything that we do.
Nope.
But it doesn't justify us to continue in sin.
That's right.
Paul told the Romans in chapter 6 in Romans, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He is saving you out of sin. He said, how can he who's been saved out of sin continue any longer in it?
Yes.
How can you stay in a thing if God is bringing you out of it?
Amen.
And the fact is, he does begin to clean you up. But it starts with faith. You come in right now by the acceptable year of the Lord. Say, God has given his son for me so that if I trust him, I can know for sure that I'm saved. My account is clean.
That's right.
With God. It's not that I could ever do anything to satisfy God, but God has done everything necessary for me and you to be saved. And so primarily what you do is accept the free gift from God. If you're willing to accept the gift, God has already made it the acceptable year of the Lord. I accept you if you accept my son. That's the deal. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean not to perish? That means that the wages for sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See? So the wages for sin, in other words, if God gave me what I deserve, what I have earned, it would be death. But instead, he gave it to his son. He allowed him to receive death that he did not deserve, because he himself had not sinned, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. See, he was completely holy and undefiled before God from the womb to the tomb.
Amen.
And because of that, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Whoever believes in him will not perish. That's what it says. It's not by works that we can do. You know why? Because you'd have to be just like he was, perfect from the womb to the tomb. Then God can accept you on the basis of works. The problem is none of us have the ability to do that. We haven't done that. None of us can say that we have. But whoever believes in Jesus Christ can come in and be made acceptable to come before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. We have a continual cleansing that's taking place the more we fellowship with him in this body, which is the church. So the term familiarity breeds contempt, we talked about that, is illustrated by this text, because we can learn that when one might think that this announcement of the coming of the Christ, the anointed one, which was fulfilled and met, well, you think that message would be met with a warm welcome. But instead it was met rather with hostility, because the people were not able to perceive that someone they had known from a child could actually be the Messiah. Therefore they were offended at his message and even attempted to destroy him, although they were not successful. And the gospel still goes on. So that's the reason why it says that. But I want you to know today, if you are here, that this is the acceptable day of the Lord.
Oh, yes, it is.
God loves you just like you are.
Yes, yes,
he made a way for you to be right. If he doesn't cleanse you, you can't be cleansed.
No way.
But the fact is, if you do believe him, then you are going, you are cleansed. You are accepted. He loves you just like you are. You know what? Jesus told Peter this. You know, Peter and his James and John, they were fishermen. And that's something I have in common with them. I'm a fisherman. He told them, you know what? If you follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. He turned that around. See? And so basically he said, you catch them, just tell them the truth. Let them know this is the acceptable year of the Lord. I accept you just like you are, without anything changed except your belief and your faith in my son. If you trust in him, he says, I give you my acceptance. I accept you. I receive you just like you are. And that's going on, been going on for a long time since Jesus preached it, the gospel, all the way back at the beginning, all the way up till now. You know what? The church has multiplied and it's everywhere on the planet. Virtually all places on the earth have heard the gospel. There may be somewhere where people have not heard, but it is the job of the church.
Yes.
To go into the world. We have been commissioned. Not only is it our job, it is our privilege. What a high honor, what a high privilege that God can take a wretch like me, undone, send you out to tell people this is the acceptable year of the Lord. If you come right now by grace, he will save you. All you have to do, the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Sometimes we struggle with stuff we do and all that, and all of us do. But you know what? We have an open door policy with God. That's why we come to the Lord's table frequently. He said, as often as you do this, this do in remembrance of me. Because he knows that we have some housekeeping that needs to be done. We got stuff that we need to do to come clean. We need to confess stuff so he can wash it out of your life. And it's a process that he does through his work with you and fellowship within the church. So that's why I can take you right now, no matter how you are. Because if the person on the pew next to you, and I'm not trying to talk about anybody specifically, they have the same problems you have. And maybe not the exact same thing, but we all, none of us can say I'm perfect.
No way.
And I do everything right. See, but my Savior is perfect. And my God opened up an acceptable time so that I can come. Just like I am. See, and you can get a witness to that.
Yeah.
None of us have defeated every possible thing that we're dealing with. You know what? Some stuff we don't even know is whack. We got some stuff that's whack that we don't even know about. We don't know why we're doing that. See, but the fact is, God knows and he has the answer. And he says, right now, I open the door. But you know, the important thing is come in during the acceptable year of the Lord. Know for sure that you're saved. God cannot lie.
Yeah.
And he has promised you that if you receive my son, I will accept you right now.
Yes.
How many times have you applied for something and got back a turn down? You've been turned down. Either alone or something. Somebody said rejected me. Turned your thing down.
It happens, doesn't it? But you know what? That won't happen in the throne room of God.
Never.
Because he gave his son and he's perfect. Yes. If you come, accept it. He takes the gavel, not guilty.
That's it.
And he sets you free into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Amen.
He will not turn you down. He will not turn you away. Mm. You're accepted just like
you are. Oh, yes.
By his grace. I don't have to deserve it or earn it. Jesus did it.
Hallelujah.
But you know what? Because he did, I'm beginning to understand how much he loves me. And you know what? I'm cleaner than I used to be. I'm not as bad as I was. I'm not going to be this bad again tomorrow as I am, because he's going to continue to convict me and make me see that what I need to do to change things in my life. See? And he's doing it. Somebody might say, yeah, well, you know, there's a few folk here who might know how I used to be.
Oh!
Yeah. Sometimes people come in that I used to know a long time ago, and they're just stuck. They go, boy, you a preacher? You know, and I'm saying, yeah, me. Now, come on in. God might want you to preach. You don't know. Come on in. But even if he doesn't, I mean, everybody is responsible in the church to share the good news with someone else.
Everybody.
God has put you in a specific place in your life. There's people you know that people here will never see. Every one of us, that's true. You know some folks, I won't ever see them in my whole life. Mm-hmm. You have your own circle of people in your life. That's why God has sprinkled you out there kind of like salt. Scattered you in different places with the good news. Mm-hmm. So you can tell people that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we want to let you know right now, you can come right now by God's grace. Come right now. He loves you just like you are. There's no reason why you should leave here and not have your account straight with God.
Yeah.
No reason. None whatsoever. You know what? The devil would like you to say, oh, I don't know, and have doubt in your mind. But God is very clear, and he has never lied. Cannot lie. Anything he says is something. It's something. And he loves you just like you are. So if you accept his son, he accepts you. You know what? You need something like that, and so do I. Think about how righteous God is. We don't even understand that. We can't even wrap our mind around a holy God. I was looking at the globe. I go, how could anybody do this? How could you do it? And then the whole space, how can you put that together? Scientists say, oh, it was a big bang. I said, you think that's a big bang? Wait till you go into the presence of God without Jesus. You want to talk about a big bang? You need to accept his grace right now while you're here. This is the acceptable year of the Lord right now. He says, I take you no matter who you are, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you've done. I receive you right now. But you know what? When that page is turned and that next verse goes into effect, and to proclaim the year, the day of vengeance, the vengeance of my God.
Yeah.
It just is a day. God's going to do a quick, swift work when it's time for judgment.
Yes,
and the world's not going to even know. People are going to be hollering out, rocks fall on us.
Yes.
Hide us from the face of him that sits
yes.
upon the throne. Because when his wrath begins to be poured out, the day of the acceptable day of the Lord will come to a close.
Mm.
But right now, this is the acceptable day.
Yes,
acceptable
is.
Year of the Lord. God gives you a year for acceptance and only needs a day for judgment.
Wow.
See that?
Wow.
So you want to get right now, today. I'm going to ask everybody to stand right where you are. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come right now, Father, just to say that we want to get in while you have an open door of salvation. You have made your son the most famous person in the world, no matter what people say.
Yes.
People say stuff, but it's 2018 because you sent your son into the world. He came in order to start up and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we are here today, Father. We want in, Father. We cash in all our chips in the acceptable year of the Lord. We come right down, Lord, to lay down everything in our lives and to say, take us right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, save our soul, Father. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us that covering, that blanket that only you could supply. You allowed your son to do it, to be the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It covers us for all sin, past, present, and future. That you allowed him to shed the blood that was necessary for the remission of all our sins.
Hallelujah.
You raised him out of the grave, and he's the only one that got up from the hands of death.
Only one.
And was able to proclaim victory in the acceptable year of the Lord. So we thank you, Father. No one else has ever done that in the world. A lot of people talking about religious systems and all of that, but they couldn't get out the grave. But you raised your son after 3 days
and night.
And he got up and proclaimed, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. So, Father, we know this is the acceptable year of the Lord, and we ask that you take us right now, Father. Take us into your household, Lord God. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Help us be ready, Lord, to be taken up, caught up to meet you in the air. Father, save anybody under the sound of my voice who has even the vague understanding of the gospel, that you love them and that you accept them just like they are. We ask this in the name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Jesus' name.
And all said together, amen. Give God a hand praise.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. And remember what you've been entrusted with as you go out. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. God loves you just like you are. Tell it to everybody. It ought to be the most exciting thing you know about. It is to me. I can't think of anything more exciting. That God will accept you just like you are.
My Lord.
The problem is not on his end. He's saying, I accept you. The answer is, do you accept him? Do you come in the name of Jesus? Do you understand he's giving you complete salvation?
Yes.
And if you and he cannot lie.
Right.
It's impossible for God to lie.
Right.
So if there's any problem there after this moment that you don't come in for the acceptable year of the Lord, it won't be God's fault.
Oh, God.
And it won't be mine. Your blood won't be on my hands. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. We